Always a sweet blessing. Thank you, parents, grandparents, for all the work that you do. Help make all of our services even better through your own blood. Amen. It's important. It's important we pass along the treasures that we have. Today, of course, we wrap up our Faith Promise Mission Emphasis Month. And today, especially guests there, for your knowledge, is really a challenge for our members, what we would do financially for missions in the coming year. Well, we promise by faith to give a certain amount financially that God has laid on our hearts. And only what God has laid on our hearts is totally voluntary. I asked the guys if they would to put up at least two of our flags today. We normally have all the flags that represent the various countries where we have one or more missionary church planters serving in around the world. Of course, but due to the construction on the church, basically now all the painting is finished. Unless you find a spot they missed, you let me know and I'll see to it. It's prevented that, but I asked them if they could to get these two at least up now that the finishing painting is finished up. Now, I have to kind of warn you. I've got a lot pent up, you know, in the last 4 weeks. Today is like eating with my grandson, Gatlin. I'm going to be all over the place. I tell you, I'm just going to be all over the place. More so than normal, okay? So please, ahead of time, go ahead and forgive me. I forgive you, Pastor. It's okay. Go ahead and tell me. Okay, all right. At least I can go on. All Bible-believing Christians living in the United States of America well understand the priority of our greatest concern for two nations above all others that we would rightfully have. One would be our own. I think everyone ought to have good enough sense to root for their home team. That's these United States. And the other, of course, is Israel, the nation of Israel. Just yesterday, one of our young men on visitation, we had a young man that he came in contact with who said he was from Palestine. And he asked if he could bring their flag into our church today. And I was asked, if we supported a missionary to Gaza, we would put our own flag up, thank you. Because they are all also the people groups of the earth. But we would not allow an exhibitionist to make a mockery out of that which is sensible. Think of the German people saying, from the land to the sea, meaning death to their enemies during World War II. Or think of German people saying, free, free Germany, after Germany invaded Poland and many more nations. And finally, the Allied forces had enough and invaded into France and then into Germany, of course, in the Second World War. Friends, this is what happens when you invade another country. You kill and rape and commit unthinkable crimes against people and taking hostages and then abusing those hostages, doing the unthinkable to women and children. Low lives. The people of Germany, now follow me, the people of Germany were responsible for their government. They were responsible for their government. And the people of Palestine are responsible for Hamas. They were elected by the people, just like Germany elected Hitler as their leader. Israel is innocent in this matter. Israel is not above being called out for wrongs they commit. If it's wrong, it's wrong. Doesn't matter who's doing it. Amen? But the people of God better remember these words found in Genesis 12, 2 and 3. When the Lord said, I will make of thee, speaking of Abram and all that would come from him, the nation of Israel, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. May we ever remember those words straight from the lips of Almighty God. Since the time God created the heaven and earth, I like to start out with a question. Since the time that God has created heaven and earth, has God had a work, his work, on earth? The answer, of course, would be yes. Yes. That would be the first work that God ordained, the first work that was established by Almighty God and with the children of faith was the family. The family. The first work and institution God established on earth was the family. One mama, one daddy. There was structure, there was authority, there was love, there was responsibility, there were duties, and there were consequences. Was there a way for a family to be able to provide for their needs and propagate their family? Yes. Adam, we know, of course, by the word of God, Adam was to tend the garden, and in light of all of that, he is able to eat of the fruit of his labor. I imagine it was the most excellent fruit of all time. Later, by the sweat of his brow, he labored and he was rewarded the fruit of his labor, and that was God's plan on earth for the family. And it was so heartfelt and so necessary for civilization, all civilization, that God says in his word, but if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Pretty serious, huh? This program, by the way, yet remains on earth and is still God's order. It is still God's order. Was there another program that God started on earth, and how was that to be cared for? How was that to be funded? We know, according to time, God called Abram out of the Ur of the Chaldees, did he not? To be a people. Yes, this is Israel. Where God was to bless them and all the world with a future Messiah that was to come. Be blessed of God and a nation of ambassadors, God's ambassadors to all of the world. Early in that history, you find the man Abram giving tithe to Melchizedek, the king of Salem. This nation was to eat and enjoy the land flowing with milk and honey. And from all of those resources that God had so designed, they were to be these ambassadors and these equippers and these helpers and these pointers to God for all the other nations. Now, they failed in that mission. But the story is not over, by the way. Eschatology is coming. It's not over yet. I think Yogi Berra said that, didn't he? It ain't over till it's over. We have, of course, the tribe of the Levites, designated to be by God's special servants representing the Lord. And the rest of the nation were to give. They were to give of their tithes and offerings. Make sacrifice through the priests to fund and prosper the work of God in that place, in that nation and beyond. Fast forward, by the time we get to the New Testament, we find John the Baptist introducing the one who should come as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And from that time forward, John said he must decrease and he must increase. Jesus Christ, our blessed Lord, the promised one, he came into his own. And his own received him not. But God is not finished with the nation of Israel. Spiritually or as a nation, God is not finished with Israel. And all you need to know that is read Romans chapter 10 and chapter 11. Did God start another program on earth? We're talking about what God started now. We're not talking about what man has started. We're talking about what has God started on earth. Is there any other institution that God himself started on earth? Yes. The New Testament church. The church. How was it to be funded? You think God would start something without a structure for it to be funded? I don't think so. I think it'd be quite impossible. How could you have a nation without a funding for a nation? It's impossible. Malachi 3:10 and 11, bring ye all the tithes unto the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Now I say this without apology, the tithe is a starting point of giving. It's a starting point of giving. Abram commenced it prior to the law. Jacob continued it. Moses commanded it. Jesus commended it. So who are we? Who are we to cancel it? Not me. I don't want anything to do with that. Nothing. The tithe belongs to the Lord. It is the Lord's, and the Bible says it is holy unto the Lord in Leviticus 27, verse 30. Now, some believers on earth, we err in the faith by not tithing as we should, maybe not truly tithing, which tithe means tenth. First fruits tithe means tenth. Not tithe as we should, and then giving to missions, perhaps even a larger gift. And by so thinking, now I'm really up for the blessings of God. Not so fast, Señor. Not so fast. You cannot be obedient by being first disobedient. Maybe I should say that again. Maybe not. Notice, if you would, in Malachi 3:10. Now, we're talking about the foundation things first. Let's get the foundation laid. Bring ye all the tithes to the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Running over. And I will rebuke, God says, on your behalf, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. In other words, I'm going to greatly aid you in all of your productivity. And he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, fruits of your ground, plural. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field. In other words, God's going to superintend all of these things if you'll do this. But God doesn't say, if you don't do this, but yet, along the way, give a little something to missions, all of this is null and void. Sorry. Nothing in the Word of God is null and void. Blessings abound for the obedient. Blessings abound for the obedient. I personally have witnessed this divine design and blessings firsthand. Not only in my life, but I have now over 30, 35 years plus and counting of observation in others' lives. And if you ever wonder, why is it? This just might be your issue. You may not first be a true tither. You may even be into other ports of grace giving, and God bless you for that. But I tell you, you need to correct the first before you get to second base. Amen? So Jesus started his church and gave his church his commission to go to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, starting New Testament churches for the glory of the Lord from these converts. Catch me in Matthew 28 and then Mark 16. Matthew 28, I'll begin in verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, how do we do what we need to do? Not by our power, but by his power. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, the imperative, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now that's just one passage that is contained in the whole of the Great Commission. It is not the entirety of the Great Commission. It's one. Another, of course, if you're already there, is Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. So listen to this. God's plan is wherever you find creatures, he wants you to also find his preacher. Wherever you find creatures, the mankind, God's design is that preachers would be there. That's God's design. Preachers would be there. Is it God's desire that all the world would be given the good news that Jesus still saves? Is that God's? He's not willing that any should. Of course it is. Of course it is. For God so loved the world. What part of that can't we understand? Take your Bibles and go to Romans chapter 10. I told you, we're going to be going all over the place. Is it God's desire that all men would be saved? The Bible says so. Is it God's desire that he has New Testament churches planted in, let's just say, Poland, Germany, Gaza, Israel, in the United States, Panama, Serbia, Lithuania, Brazil, and all the other nations of the earth? Is it God's desire? Of course, yes. Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 1, the Apostle Paul says this, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." One day that will be corrected. "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ, down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." That's certainty. Thou shalt be saved. Here's an explanation. "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him." Therefore all should call. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they, the preachers, be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So again, God's plan is where you find creatures, you should find a preacher. That's God's plan. Find a preacher. God bless preachers. And I like that, number one, because I am one. But I love preachers, and I thank God for preachers. Now, what are his preachers sent out to do? Well, it's found right there in the Word. Preachers are to what? Preach. Preachers are to preach. They are to herald. They are to proclaim and establish New Testament churches. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul did in the Scripture, in the Holy Bible. These preachers, they preach and they establish New Testament churches, if at all possible, where they preached. And that is the fulfilling of the Great Commission. For then they are trained and taught that they would go out and do likewise. Just like raising children and seeing those children go out and have their own families and take care of their own business and propagate their own families in their own name. Amen. Many parallels between the two. Go to Acts chapter 13, if you would. We'll see this is exactly what the church at Antioch did through their preachers. In Acts chapter 13, I'll begin in verse 1. You catch me there. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that is called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul, as they ministered to the Lord. So they're going about the Lord's work, right? And fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas, and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them. They sent them away. Now we know they went in on to Cyprus and went on in up the country there from that island and preaching and starting churches. On the second missionary journey, Paul, there on the coast land there, he heard the Macedonian call, come over and help us, did he not? And he responded to that, and that was the first mission adventure into what we know today as Europe. We are a direct consequence of him answering that call. He went over there with the gospel, and there, beginning at the church at Philippi, what did he do there? He went out and he preached. He's an honorable preacher. Honorable preachers, preach. Hello? If you want to have the title, you ought to be doing the job. Amen. You want to have the title, you should be doing the job. Preachers, preach. He preached and he started a church at Philippi and all over Macedonia. Is that right? We have a testimony of the Holy Scripture to the fact. Now the church at Antioch that sent them out, invested their men, members of their church, preachers, to go from their place to go preach and to start churches. There is no question that the church at Antioch would have continued to benefit by this missionary evangelist team had they remained at Antioch and stayed right there and did the work of God right there in that place. There's no question they would have benefited from that. No question at all. Yet they cared enough for the commission of the Lord Jesus Christ to commit these men to the cause of Christ. And that is yet needed today. That churches even like ours should see the cause of Christ worthy to invest men and women, boys and girls, to invest families of our number, to leave us and to go out from us to help carry out the greatest cause on earth, and that's the cause of Christ. Does it hurt? Does it hurt? Sometimes I think members think the preacher doesn't hurt. Does it hurt to see them go? Of course. Of course. Of course. Yet it is for the greater good, and to God be the glory. So we intend to yet train men and to sin. Train and to sin. Train and to sin. And God increase our tribe. Now we could sit in our Jerusalem with our tithes, doing our work here and ignoring the plan of God for the rest of the earth. We could do that. And there are plenty of churches on earth who choose to do that very thing. We could deny God's plan for the nation and how God intends for His word and His work to be spread throughout the earth. We could deny ourselves from having compassion, making a difference in other people's lives. Or we could get a burden that God has for all the people of the earth. Red, yellow, black, and white, they're all precious in His sight. And seek to help send missionary church planters all over the earth to do exactly what the Apostle Paul did, finding his life, his ministry, our model. Who better to follow? Can you name one? Who better to follow than that which we see in the Holy Writ of God? Now, with missions, each church and each church member. So, guests, this is directly for our church and church members. With missions, each church and each member must choose to participate or not It is totally your choice to do so. It's totally your choice. Nobody's going to send you an invoice. Nobody's going to have a self-addressed envelope with your number on it, not even your name. Nobody's going to do that. It is a voluntary gift called grace giving. Some churches do not support missions at all. Some churches in the Bible seem not to directly, as we know, support missions. It's sad to admit it, but it's true. Are they free to make that decision? Yes, you're always free. It's their choice. But yet there are other people who see a need of people all over the earth. And like themselves, like us, we are thankful for the message that was given to us. We are thankful for the gospel that was spread to us. And we could just imagine there will be some out there who will be very, very thankful. And how many mission presentations have you seen where they're saying, thank you for caring. Thank you for giving. Thank you for sending this missionary. Thank you for sending this family over here to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with us. Now, I can't make your decision for you. I cannot. I can make the decision for myself. And I decided a long time ago, I want in, not out. I want in. I want in. We're going to talk about just a little bit, how do we begin to really get in, not only to what we're doing here, but what we can help others do over there. How does that work? Well, old Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Such a church who cared and gave above their tithes so others could hear the gospel was the church at Philippi. This church that started with this dear woman, Lydia. Thank God for good women. Lydia. Down by the creek, the church at Philippi in Macedonia, along with these other churches. Take your Bibles and go to Philippians chapter 4. Catch me there. Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to begin in verse 10. Maybe you'll catch me by verse 12. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. So Paul is writing back to this church. And he says, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. In other words, God's going to take care of me, see? God's going to take care of me. Notwithstanding, verse 14, ye have done well that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye, Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. You're the only ones. You're the only ones. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. My necessity. The needs of the who? The preacher. The preacher. Not, he says, because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. How did this church, and how did these churches that are mentioned here in Macedonia, how did they so organize, so do the work of missions beyond their own church, beyond their own ties? How did they go about this? Well, that's a very, very good question. And I have the answer. Is they did it the exact same way as you find other grace gifts were given in the Holy Scripture. And one such gift that we have a great amount of detail on in the Word of God is the benevolent gift that was given to the church at Jerusalem in their great need. So if you would take your Bibles again, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And we can glean much here of how all of this works. And the answer, of course, lies in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9, by the way. But I'm going to try to limit for sake of time to the first 11 verses of chapter 8 only. But you can get a lot of insight reading both of these chapters as how does grace giving, how does this work to give for the benefit of others? How does this work? In chapter 8, beginning in verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." That's that region I'm talking about with the Philippi. "How that in a great trial of affliction, their abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded into the riches of their liberality. For to their record I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped." In other words, they blew our socks off. "But first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence, and your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also." Verse 8, "I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." Oh Lord. "And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that if there, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have." Let me point out just a number of things, and I'll be fast. Probably not, but I'll try. They had obstacles. They had obstacles to overcome. They had problems that they had to face to be able to do this. In other words, it wasn't going to be easy. It wasn't going to be easy. I have found, frankly, in my spiritual life, the things that are easy are not to be valued that much. The things that are very difficult, boy, they have a lot of value. They have a lot of value to those things. Well, what were some of their obstacles? What were some of their problems? Well, we see letter A. The Bible says here they had great trials of afflictions. Great trials. They had a lot of setbacks. The Bible says in this world you shall have tribulation. Now, our tribulation compared to their tribulation, we wouldn't even have tribulations compared to theirs. Afflictions. Can I say it this way? There are no convenient seasons for us to wait for until we can serve the Lord. If you're always waiting, if you're waiting for a convenient season for all the stars to align and for your ship to come in, and then you're going to turn your mind to the Lord and carrying on, caring for others, I'm telling you that time will never come. That time will never come. Great trials of affliction. Not only that was an obstacle, but the Bible says here, deep poverty. I've heard for many, many years now, "Well, you don't understand, these people are so poor." I'm like, the poor like the Macedonians? Hello? I said, poor like the Macedonians? Deep poverty. They were some of the most poor people on the earth. They had obstacles. Number two, they had opportunities to serve others. We have opportunities to serve others in a wide variety of different ways. Opportunities. They abound. They always abound. Number three, they put their treasures forth. Look in verse 2. "Then their deep poverty," the last part of the verse, "abounded unto the riches of their liberality." They had a heart for the things of God, not only at home base, but for all the peoples of the earth. They were concerned. They wanted what they were enjoying for other men, women, boys, and girls to enjoy. Well, how about that? They wanted to take advantage of those opportunities. In other words, they were looking for a way in. They put their treasures forth. They had a heart for the things of God. And number four, they had the right motivation. You say, what's the right motivation? Well, there are many, I guess, or there's at least several good motivations, but there's one that stands well above all the rest of them. And it's found right here in verse 9. For ye know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. In other words, consider the cross. Not just make it, consider it. Consider it. They considered what Christ had done for them. And then in light of that, what could they do to help others? You see how that changes the dynamic? It changes your view of things from this, an inward focus, to an outward focus. To have the same passion, for God so loved the world. And that's the way you start to live your life. They had the greatest motivation. Number five, they abounded to their opportunities. In other words, every time they had any chance whatsoever to do something, they wanted to be a part of it. Opportunity means toward the port. Favorable winds toward a port. At any time there's anything that I can do and have the power to do for the Lord, I want to do that. I'm looking for a way in. Verse 3 says, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. Now, how do willing vessels, Christians, sometimes young Christians, sometimes older Christians. How do we learn how to abound in this? Well, letter A. It started by that which was in their own power. In other words, they gave what they already had, but figured out that they could give. They did what they felt like they could do that from the resources that they already had in their possession. They gave out of that which they already have. So in other words, they may sit down and say, well, you know, I think I can do this. I think I could probably at least give the Lord the value of a Coca-Cola every day. Maybe I could do that and start there. I have the budget. I could do that. And I could be a blessing through my church. And I could, like this church, I could be looking for a way in and not a way out. And I could do that. Oh, honey, don't you think we could do that? Sweetheart, don't you think we could at least do that? And you make a start. And that's what they did. They just started someplace. And they started with what was already in their power to do. But that desire has a tendency to grow. You start doing the work of God, don't be surprised that you start really loving it and you want to do even more. And you'll be saying things like, preacher, here's my offering. Don't forget it. Now we need to get it in to send it to our missionaries. Preacher, I sure wish I could do even more. That attitude, next thing you know, you've got the bug. And it's a good bug. Not a bad bug. This is a good bug. And you get bit by the bug of blessedness. And you want even more in. And so you're seeking to do yet even more. So it grew by wanting to give even more. Go back to the verse. For to their power, that's what they had, that's the resources they already have, I bear record, yea, and beyond now this is different. Beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. Someone says, the Lord trusts me to give more if he can give through me more. Through me. In other words, I don't hold it. I don't harbor it. I don't, you know, just keep it to myself. But I'm looking to pass it through. And so, Lord, if you'll bless me more, I will bless others more. Go think. How many would agree that falls right in line with the compassion and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ for all the people of the earth? Amen. Trusting God for more to give. In other words, faith, promise, giving. Number 6. What made this faith promise giving so much easier for these saints as time went along? I'm sure just like anything else. When you start something, it's not quite as easy, and then you try to figure that out, and you kind of get your legs under you, like you old sailors, you know, you get your legs under you, and next thing you know, you're thinking, well, you know, I think I could do a little bit more. And then next thing you know, your faith has grown, and you look at your sweetheart, and you say, you know, you think we could trust God? Do you think maybe we could trust Him for another $20 a month or $10? Well, honey, I don't know that we have that. I know right now we don't have it, but maybe if we told the Lord we're going to give it, maybe the Lord will give it to us so that we can give it. There are people right here in this room that could stand and tell stories and blow your socks off to that very testimony, what I just told you. Blow your socks off. So what made this easier? Look at verse 4. Praying us with much entreaty. Oh, they wanted Paul to receive the gift. That we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. So they begged Paul to allow them. In other words, people say this all the time like this. Don't steal a blessing from me. Don't take it. Let me give so I will be blessed and my family, my children will all be blessed even more because of this giving. So what made this giving easier for them? They first, that's a priority, they first gave of themselves. They first gave of themselves. Then they gave their gifts to help others. But they first gave themselves. Now, the reason so many people struggle with grace giving is they get kind of locked up in the tithe, and some of them are not even on to the tithe yet. But they get locked up in the tithe, and don't get me wrong, tithing is biblical, tithing is excellent behavior, tithing will give you the blessings of Almighty God. Nothing can take that away from you. Amen. Praise the Lord for all of that. But there is additional giving, both, by the way, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. That's called grace giving above. And the reason so many believers struggle with grace giving above their tithes and offerings is that they have not first really, truly given all of themselves. They're holding back parts. They're holding back parts. Think of it like this. If we had offering plates up front, still, you know, on the communion table or something. I was going to grab one of those and use that. And I said, well, that's not big enough. So what else could I do? You know, what else could I do? Think about that. Well, I could get a big dish of some sort, you know, and I could make it look like an offering plate. But I didn't have all the time in the world, you know. So I just decided I'll just talk about it and leave it up to your imagination. So you picture, if you would, that there's a big offering plate right here now on the floor. Big offering plate. At least 3 foot all the way around. Is that big enough for my girth? Make it 4 foot. All the way around. All the way around. Plenty big enough. And the reason it's so difficult for us to throw in a little bit more for others is because we're not in the plate altogether ourselves. Because if I'm in the plate and Christ has all of me, then that extra gift, it's not that big of a deal. But if I'm not all in, then that's quite a bit more difficult to do. Well, I could. Amen? Amen? And that's where the rub is. And now listen, I can appreciate anybody on their journey in life, and I'm not here to roast your potatoes. I promise you, I'm not here to roast your potatoes. I am here to provoke you to better things for the Lord. And why would I apologize for that? you would think, well, what kind of a preacher are you if you wouldn't tell me the truth about this? I'm telling you that we struggle with putting more in beyond my tithe. Yes, yes. But we struggle with that because we're not already in the plate ourselves. Now, I'm not here to exploit you financially, members. And yes, please do know that. I spoke about that Wednesday night. And I admitted the first sermon I ever heard on God expects us to be good stewards of that which we keep for the management of our own families. The first sermon I ever heard on that, I preached myself. I'm not saying other men haven't. God bless them. I'm sure that there were. But I never heard one. So I'm not here to exploit the finances of our members. But I am here to tell you and to teach you God's plan for the ages. And encourage you to get a little bit of that. And you say, well, I'm not quite ready to take that step by faith, preacher, to be honest. That's okay. But I'm not quite ready to get that stuff that's beyond my power. Maybe, honey, what do you think? Maybe we could have enough faith to just start by giving maybe $10 a month or $20 a month or maybe even $25 a month. Honey, what do you think? We have that, don't we? Don't we have that in our budget? Don't we? Couldn't we do that? I mean, above our tithes. We don't want the curse of God. No, we don't want that. We want to take care of our church and our tithe. We want to do that. But when we're talking about missions, and we're talking about caring for others. Honey, don't you think maybe we could start there? And maybe just try the Lord and see how God's plan actually works for us. We've heard about it with all these others. The preachers told us. He seems to be like an honest man. He's told us. He's a Psalm 1 man, and I guarantee you, you're looking at a Psalm 1 man right here. I could tell you all the deals. I can tell you the few that I lost on. I can tell you all that I gained on, all to the praise of His glory. Through the years, you're looking at a Psalm 1 blessed man. Deals coming in, just right timing. I'm not that good at timing. Ask my wife. Yeah, somebody else got me some flowers to take to her because I was not as romantic as I should have been then. I am now. Not. And the flowers wilted in the office for 3 days before I remembered them. My timing is not the best in the world. I'll readily admit it to you. But I tell you what, when I take my little bit and I put it in the pot, I'm telling you, because I had enough faith to learn how to do this, and thank God, now where I learned that, tithing, I learned that from my mom and dad. There wasn't a time in my life I didn't know this. I don't even remember learning how to tithe. It's just something we just did. They started that training from the earliest. And so really, God didn't teach me how to faith give until I learned about faith, promise, mission, giving. And then God opened up a brand new world to me. And I've learned how to trust Him so much more. So much more. In my own power and beyond my power. The other missionary the other day, he preached way too long, so give me a little bit more time. Years ago, I was trying to have a special day. Now, guests, please understand, I rarely talk about money. I do. Don't believe what you see on the internet. I pointed out, well, I want to challenge our people who have never tithed for an all-tithe day. Remember that? Some of you remember that. I just wanted. I know God will bless. Just maybe get a start. Just learn how to be obedient. Just start. Then I thought, well, if we're trying to provoke the people who have never had enough faith just to obey God and do it, maybe I would challenge everybody else in the church who are already faithful in their tithes to do a double tithe. Just this one Sunday. Just a double tithe just on this one Sunday. And I thought, well, so I talked to Dory about that. And, I don't know. Things were tight then, Bubba, let me tell you. And I thought, well, you know, Miss Evelyn, if I'm going to ask our good people who have always, they've been faithful to tithe for years, if I'm going to ask them to do a double tithe, and we're trying to provoke those who have never tithed to just do a tithe, just 1 week, just 1 week, just provoke them to just do that 1 week. Well, you can't lead from behind, right? Right, brother? You can't lead from behind. So I thought, oh, Lord, I'm praying. Lord, what can I do? Lord, I want to lead from the front. Lord, I want to be that kind of preacher. I want to be a leader. I want to be a leader for you, Lord. What can I do? Oh, I've asked them to do a double tithe. I'd do a triple tithe. My wife about had a heart attack. Now, let me tell you, that was beyond our means. Not only the second one, but the third one. And I don't fault the church, but let me just tell you, things were very meager years ago. We did what we could, and I was grateful to receive what we received. But that was beyond our means. I did it, the Lord blessed, and the week, I think it was a week, maybe a week and a half at most. I had twice that what I had given back to me. Now, does that always happen? No, but overall, yeah. I get more than I give. I get more than I give. You're looking at an example. My life, our life, is an example to you. So I encourage you, if you haven't been in, how about getting in? You'll be glad you did. Let's stand for prayer.